following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Refuge Daily. Pastor Shaddy here, and I have one of my favorite people on the planet with us today. His name is Mickey Mansour, and he is a brother from Texas. I'm over here in Texas, and I'm visiting my old stomping grounds, right? Lifeline, Calvary Chapel Lifeline. And I saw Mickey and I had to pull him over. Mickey is an evangelist. Mickey has the coolest testimony. And he is such a blessing to me, and he's always been a blessing to me. And so let's welcome Mickey.
Hey guys, I may be a little sluggish. It is about 10 or 11, 10 o'clock at night here, so forgive me if I'm a little sluggish, but I will try to be quick and to the point.
Awesome. So Mickey, I've seen Mickey grow tremendously in my short time at Lifeline. You came from a past of drugs, and the Lord has restored you quite a bit. You now serve Him. You're a pastor in my eyes, though unofficial. And you and your lovely bride are expecting a little girl. And what is her name?
Her name is going to be Evangelina.
Evangelina. Why? Why, Mickey?
Well, I don't know. Because Caitlin wanted it to be, and she asked me, and I said, yeah.
Yeah, but the whole evangelizing is the key. So I was hoping you'd share with us a little bit about your testimony.
Sure, I'd love to. So I'll keep it short and try not to put too many details. I want to tell y'all how I found out that Jesus was God. Well, how did I get to this church? Funny enough, it's actually, I met a girl in the drug world that invited me to church when I was actively using things I shouldn't have been.
Now, just really quick, how awesome is God?
That's what I'm saying.
That God would do that, use a girl in the drug world, and you met her in, I thought it was one of those houses,
yeah,
right? Okay, and then she, you know, her parents were elders in this church. Mm-hmm. So she goes to church with her parents, and Mickey comes in tow.
Yes. I come to the church. I show up to Wednesday Bible study. He's teaching out of 1 Samuel. I'm at the point where I don't even know how to read a Bible. I don't know what chapters or verses are or anything, so I don't know what's going on. But I come to the church, and I participate. I spectate. And let's see, after that, I missed a few times because I went back into, as a dog returns to his vomit, right, a fool repeats his foolishness. That was kind of me, so I relapsed and missed some times. And then I would come back, they would pray for me, they would ask me what was wrong, and I told them what I did, and I was like, yeah, I relapsed. But they would pray for me, and I would keep coming back when I could. And then, so from there, it got really bad. I ended up in jail. You know, the usual story. You talk to any drug addict. It just, you were reduced and reduced and reduced and lost this, lost that. It's the same thing. You know, I lost this, lost that, lost relationship, lost job, lost all that stuff, car, whatever. Ended up in jail. Got out of jail. Tried to come say I'm sorry to my mom, and the gun was pointed at my face, and I was told to get out of the house. At that point, I'm like, all right. Well.
You know you've hit rock bottom when his mom is the sweetest woman on the planet, but she is so scared, she is so at her wit's end that she is holding a gun. Yeah. And again, this is Texas, y'all, so this is what we do. But yeah, so bye, guys. So your mom's holding a gun to you.
So yeah, the point is, I burned every bridge. Nobody everyone disowned me. I was just the screw up, you know, whatever. But the church showed me love, and that's really what kept me coming to the church, because they never judged me as an outsider, and they would constantly the pastor at the time, before it was passed off to Pastor Shaddy, Pastor Ed would ask me, he'd say, "Hey, would you read the book of John? Would you read the book of John?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll get to it. Yeah, I'll get to it." And I never did. But anyway, so I got, where was I? I was coming back out of jail, tried to make my amends. Nobody cared about me, whatever. Everyone disowned me. So I went back to the drugs and I ended up getting really bad. There was a missing person report on me and all that stuff. So my mom came down to find me and took me to Wisconsin. This is from Texas to Wisconsin. So I was in Wisconsin. And I was sober for an extended period of time. The whole time I was in Wisconsin, I was sober. But it was like 2 or 3 months had gone by. And every single night I would wake up to really bad dreams. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd wake up to Luciferian dreams, really crazy dreams. And it kept happening religiously every single night. And then it ended up in, I would wake up to certain things, hearing voices. I was pressed against my bed. I couldn't move. Various things kept happening that got worse and worse and worse. It got to the point where I would try to switch rooms, try to cover my head. And it wasn't the science of withdrawal. That was way done with. This was like 3-4 months after being completely sober. So I started to pray, and I prayed to God that whatever was in the house would stop or go away. I thought it was a ghost. I didn't know anything. I now believe in some kind of whatever. There's something going on in this house. Maybe it's a ghost. Maybe it's this, that, the other. I don't know. So I started to pray. My prayers never get answered. I would just pray to God, and then nothing would happen. My prayers wouldn't get answered. It would keep happening. So it started to get really bad. It was these, I used to hear these voices in the middle of the night, like talking, like I could hear them as clear as we're talking right now. And it freaked me out. But nothing would happen when I would pray. So I called my friend from Dallas who was a Christian. And I asked him to pray for me and he said he would. And, you know, I started asking questions about Christianity, and I was like, what do I need to do? And he just told me to pray for me. So I went to bed again that night, and the same thing happened again. I was being, it sucked. Like, I was just being tormented every single night, like, religiously. And I would get tired of trying to explain myself to people because they would think that I was just making it up or lying, or it was just withdrawal symptoms or something like that. And it would just make me irritated. So I kept it to myself. Well, one day I finally called, but every single night, like I used to literally go run 5 miles, go lift weights, do all the kind of stuff you could do to possibly to make yourself sleep really hard and sleep through the night. And no matter what, I'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it happened for like almost 6 months. Finally, one day, I called my friend Michael Will. His name is Michael Will. And I said, you know, this God that you believe in, he doesn't love me or something. Like, what do I need to do? What's the tradition? What do I got to do to get him to listen to me? Like, am I, you know? And I told him that I was praying. And he said, well, how are you praying? And I told him how I prayed, and he says, well, pray in Jesus' name. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, at the end of your prayer, address who you're praying to, and pray to the Lord Jesus. So I rolled my eyes and hung up the phone. And that night, I did the same thing. I went in front of my bed. I got my hands and knees, and I prayed, and I addressed Jesus. And I said, in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. You know, please, whatever's in this home, let it go away. You know, something like that. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. And I slept through the night. I woke up and it was sunny outside and I couldn't believe it. So at that point, that was the beginning of my confusion, not necessarily my conversion, but my confusion. And I put that in my back pocket, and I ended up coming back down south to Texas. I came back to the church, got back into drugs again. Pastor Shaddy was pastoring that church at that time, and he let me, you know, I didn't have a place to go, you know, the usual homeless, I don't have a place to go, lose everything, and I was trying to get out of what I was in, and I needed a place to stay, and he let me stay the night at the church. So when I was at the church that night. I forget, I think it was during the week. He bought me food and prayed for me, and I went to sleep in the Sunday school room. And the same thing happened again, even though I thought that because I was in a church, I was in like a safe place. And so I went to sleep that night, and or I didn't actually sleep because I was still being like tormented by the voices and stuff. And the next morning, Shadi came and, you want to pick up from there? You asked me how I slept, and I was like, I didn't really sleep. There are people here. I heard someone doing maintenance. I thought, I don't know, like I said, someone was doing maintenance in the church or something like that. And he's like, no, Mickey, I was doing maintenance. It was like a Tuesday night or something.
Yeah, it was a small church. We don't have maintenance people. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So, but then you, for the sake of time, right? So let's, over time, you started coming to church.
Yeah.
And you started holding on to the Lord. And there were some setbacks here and there. So it wasn't like an immediate, freedom. It wasn't like that. It was something that you had to walk through. And God was faithful through the whole thing. And then God started like using you as well. So Mickey is an incredible evangelist. And I think I mentioned that before. But the Lord sent him to Afghanistan, was it the first place that you went to?
Mm-hmm.
And when you were in Afghanistan, you got to witness to the soldiers that were there, and he had a Bible study, and you know, Mickey was like memorizing verses, like he just couldn't get enough, and it was just all of a sudden he was on this different track. And do you want to tell us about you, Belt?
Yeah, sure. When I was in Afghanistan, so yeah, like at the close of that, basically like I finally read the book of John and I believed and I got saved. So that was the end of that. And then I went to, I got baptized. He baptized me, prayed for me, put hands on me when I went to Afghanistan. He said I was going to be the first missionary. And I was like, I've read one book of the Bible, John. Like, I don't know anything about that.
Dude, you're our first missionary.
But that's all I need, right? So I went out there anyways and I didn't, I met a kid, Holy Spirit told me talk to that kid, that specific kid or man, young man. So I called Shadi and we prayed for him. And I was like, something just told me to talk to him about, Jesus. And we prayed over the phone for him. And then that God would soften his heart and draw him and all that stuff. And he'd be receptive to the gospel. And I ended up telling him my testimony. And I told him something just told me to talk to you. I told him my testimony in greater detail, and I gave him like a prayer, and I invited him to Bible study, gave him a sinner's prayer after he, I said, if you really, you want to give your life over to Christ, and I gave him that talk, and he did it. He said the prayer and he came to study, and we started reading John, and he accepted Christ, long story short, and I think it was 2.5 weeks later, he was killed by a suicide bomber.
A suicide bomber got on the base, and U-Belt was the one that went up to him and basically sacrificed his life, right, for the sake. The bomber was going to the mess hall, I believe.
Yeah, the bomber was going to an event that was like posted all over the base. It pretty much shouldn't have been. He was going to an event and he was planning on attacking a multitude of people. But he was intercepted by my friend earlier that morning on the way there, and he got nervous and he pulled and detonated early. Whenever they went to retrieve his belongings, they found the Bible that I'd given him, and it was open on his pillow, and the verse John 15:13 was highlighted, which is, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that is what led a lot of people out there who didn't believe to believe, because God showed off in that incident.
Yes, he did.
I'm not comparing him to Jesus by saying that he gave his, but it is very similar what he did. Because
that's really cool.
Yeah.
So my encouragement, and I think Mickey would agree here, is that we have a big God. Amen?
Amen.
We have a very big God. So I look at Mickey's life and I'm like, I look at my own life too. I see, the mud, the mire that we were in, and I see how God pulled us out of it. And not just he pulled us out of it for us, but he pulled us out of it so that we could go minister to other people. And I want to encourage you, church, God's got an amazing plan for your life. And he wants to use you and he wants to work through you. And it's kind of a miracle that he would use broken and weak vessels like us and like you. But this is the what God uses. This is what God chooses to use to bless other people. So be encouraged. And if there's something going on that you need prayer for, reach out to me. My email is shaddy@refuge.com. Refuge family, excuse me, refugefamily.com. And I'd love to talk to you and we could pray together. But God bless you guys. And I look to see you guys around the church. Thank you, Mickey.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.